You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues, just like the dude said there a moment ago. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hey, welcome to March 27th, Monday afternoon. It is a beautiful day outside. Boomer's got allergies, but he's still on the board.
I do. So I sound like two octaves lower today.
You like Barry White came in the studio running the board. Barry, thank you for bringing the love.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh. Hey, by the way, apologies. We had some kind of a technical gaffe last week. So Boomer and I were out of town Thursday and Friday. And for whatever reason, the same show played two other days while we were gone. So no, I did not have three birthdays.
I was going to say you had three birthdays.
I did not have three birthdays. but yeah, so total apologies. When I'm totally out of state, well, both of us were out of state, it is hard to recoup. And you find out after the fact that, like, hey, you know, Phil, what happened? John from Huntsville, quick to point out that I had three birthdays in 1 week. So anyway, thank you to those of you who are being patient with us. I will be honest, I was at my grandbaby girl's first birthday. Oh. So all else is good in the world after that. Just saying. She's just beautiful little bitty baby girl. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute is going to be on with us to talk about numbers, talk about money, talk about big fat money is what I'm going to be calling that one here in a few minutes. I'll tell you more about it. But Justin Bogey, 3 o'clock. He always does a great job sort of breaking down some of the finances, and we'll hear from him at three. So there's that. And then I got a triple dipper that says full of good stuff. So hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one is that conversation with Justin Bogey, plus some additional thoughts and considerations. Big fat money is what I'm calling it. Big fat money. So yeah, we got so much money, it's just fat. We just got big fat money. And we're going to talk about how it breaks down and what does it mean for the taxpayer as we just watch government spend big fat money. Number two on the triple dipper, race baiters and charlatans. Every once in a while I have to do this because you'll find multiple stories where it's like it's all the rage right now to either be a deceiver or to claim that racism is at the heart of whatever your cause celeb is. Well, race baiters and charlatans, you're going to hear about that, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, there's a lot in the news right now about issues related to U.S. military readiness, military strength, military ability to respond. I'm just telling you, military-minded. That's what we're going to call number three today. We got to dive into this. Think about it. All of you who are currently active duty or veterans, or you have members of your family who are, you're going to be very interested in this one. Military-minded, number three on the triple dipper. All right, but let me jump over there to my comments there, because big fat money, well, that's kind of the theme for the first part of the show here. And you hear about the amount of money in government, right? But then sometimes you get a glimpse of it, and it can be both astounding and appalling. And in the midst of good times, fat times, one of the best and worst words or terms that you can hear in regard to government is budget surplus. Yeah. On the one hand, you'd much rather know that those in charge of your government engage the appropriations, the spending, and the revenue collection aspects of their jobs in such a way that the government doesn't end up declaring a budget shortfall, right? Never a good thing to find out the government didn't collect enough of our money and now it's going to cut essential services. By the way, notice I didn't say cutting government labor force, because that rarely ever happens. They cut services, things that you and I need. Budget shortfall is bad. Budget shortfall means lean times are upon us in some way. But then there's that original term that I named a moment ago, budget surplus. Which a budget surplus can evidence that an economy is thriving, right? That revenues are up. Except that you have to consider that budget processes are first and foremost based upon projections, right? They should have foreseen the amount of revenue and budgeted accordingly. But hey, Even the most expert of opinions can go awry, and sometimes in the positive direction, and suddenly, voila, extra money, budget surplus. Awesome. But is it possible? Is it possible for a budget surplus to be a bad thing? The short answer is yes. Basically, when the government has more money than it needed to operate, it means, in essence, they took too much money from the taxpayers. And when you combine a government surplus with a lean economy and inflation, well, at that point, the government begins to look a bit heartless. We're paying more at the store, more to the government, keeping less in our pockets, taking fewer vacations, while government winds up having extra to spend. Well, that's when budget surplus becomes a bad thing, when it's all about the Benjamins and nothing about the taxpayer. I'll never forget a couple of key examples that I witnessed firsthand. Like when I was in the Pentagon, I remember coming to the close of a fiscal year and the word came down from the comptroller, "Hey, year end's on us. We got to use it or lose it. Submit your capital expense list ASAP for approval and get those acquisitions in the hopper by the right date." Use it or lose it. What a concept. It basically means the powers that be are going to be appropriating the next year's allocations in the coming budget, and if you wind up with money left over, they might not give you the same amount, or, God forbid, they might give you less. Meanwhile, the average citizen runs their household and their private business just the opposite. In the private world, funds left over at the end of a year equals success. You can issue a shareholder dividend, take a trip to Disney World, or, here's a novel idea, put it in savings for possible lean times in the future. But I've seen it just the opposite, where they don't want to tell you they've got a surplus, where they hang on to it, where they squirrel it away. Government? Yeah, government. Some years back, as a part of my time in the state Senate, I chaired the Senate Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. A research committee was formed, of which I was a part, and designed to review government spending and various processes related to budgets. Well, I had recently discovered something that just chapped me. And I asked if I could handle a sidebar research study in that study commission to review departmental budgeting. So I did. And my secretary began putting together a notebook that just grew and grew and grew. And we nicknamed the notebook Big Bertha. And we left it out in my office for anyone to come review who wanted to do so. You see, I had discovered quite accidentally that one department that handled the state of Alabama's telecommunications actually billed other departments to handle their IT and telephone service. Can you imagine one government department billing another? Don't we already pay them? So the telecommunications department, I had learned, whose services, by the way, were not that great, made money every year. I mean made money, like profited. I got a copy of their records for the past 10 fiscal years, and I was shocked to learn that this one government department in Montgomery had a rollover account in which they carried money from one year to the next. So basically, this department appropriated funds through the budget processes run by the legislature. And then they billed the other departments while on the taxpayer dime, and the other departments just, you know, factored that into the budget requests and could care less. But the telecommunications department, they were not breaking even, not by a stretch. Oh, no, they were profiting. They had a running budget surplus sitting in the tens of millions. But yet they kept bellying up to the budget trough to get their annual tranche of taxpayer funds, and that self-licking ice cream cone just perpetuated itself. Get money from the legislature. Use what they give you to then bill money to other departments. Make a profit, squirrel it away in a side account. Don't tell anybody. Come back and get your appropriation the next year. So I decided to find out how many other departments had funds left over at the end of that year. And there were a lot of them, sitting on budget surpluses and still asking for more. So I made them all come in and provide input as to why that should be allowed to continue, and we shut down some of it. Now listen, I'm not so libertarian in my views that I don't believe that government has a role. It certainly does. Essential services like infrastructure, law enforcement, national defense, the court system, and a whole lot more, they have a definite place, and I know those things cost money. I'm also not one who believes that politicians should work for free. You get what you pay for when you do that. And most folks don't want to go bankrupt in public service, nor should they. But right now, Alabama is sitting on a massive budget surplus unlike anything we've ever experienced in the history of our state. But they are, if you will, the less seemly kind of surpluses. It's the kind that comes from having taken too much revenue during hard times. The goal should be at that point to be less about the Benjamins, more about the citizens. But as we speak, the governor has found herself so flush with our cash that she can begin to ask that it be given away to things like local parks and badly run tourist events and the growth of more and more government. So keep in mind that more money may seem better than less money, but more money taken from private citizens to fund government well in excess of what is needed should never result in a rollover account or a year-end profit. It should also never be a use-it-or-lose-it spending spree. Budget surpluses should be mandated to result in some form of revenue-sharing tax refund to the citizens of our state. And I don't mean a simple one-time token payment to appease the masses. I mean reform. I mean stop taking so much in the first place. Maybe set a cap and go from there. Maybe, just maybe, we'll see something this legislative session that tells us that our state government cares more about the people and less about the Benjamins. But so far, I ain't holding my breath. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. We're going to break this down, by the way. I got some examples. You will not believe they have so much money right now that Governor Ivey's proposing to take education dollars to do things like, oh, I don't know, bail out the World Games in Birmingham. What? You heard me. We'll talk about it in detail. Big fat money is coming up next. Y'all stay tuned. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I'm gonna just pause here in the show and tell you, there's multiple pieces of breaking news that are worthy of bringing up right now, not the least of which is, of course, the story's still unfolding, but apparently there was a school shooting in Nashville. And Boomer, you chime in if you want to, because I know that this is a school that has been in your wheelhouse a bit. Three adults and three children known to be killed, is what we understand. And the shooter is what, a female?
A female. What they're saying is around 28 years old, a female.
Possible former student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's right there in the Green Hills area of Nashville.
And this is, was it Covenant Christian? Is that what it's called?
Covenant Christian.
Yeah.
Covenant School, Presbyterian Christian School.
Well, so you coach some of the kids there.
So I actually coached at a gymnastics gym close to there, and there were kids that came through there before. And I actually had a friend that has nieces and nephews there and a brother-in-law that teaches there, but they're all okay.
Still there now?
It's still there now.
Oh, wait, I missed that earlier. Your brother-in-law teaches there?
Not my brother-in-law, my friend's brother-in-law.
I got you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, still, just it makes it very personal when you see a story.
Oh, I know.
I mean, so often we see this, oh, it's in Texas, oh, it's horrible, it's, oh, it's in Chicago, oh, it's in California. No, it's in a place where you've actually walked in the halls.
Just miles away from, you know, where we used to live.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, blessings and prayers to that community.
Absolutely.
Story still unfolding, but so, yeah, the bottom line is that we know right now the active shooter situation, that the police did respond quickly is what we understand so far, and they engaged the shooter. Took her out. It was a female, roughly 28 years old, they say, possible former student. And she had come in with two long guns and one pistol. Mm-hmm. And so this was not a random, I pulled it out of my purse because I was angry kind of shooting. She apparently came in with intent to do this kind of harm. Mm-hmm. And so we'll let you know if we hear more. The police has gave their first blush kind of assessment of the situation, which was very short on facts. The most that we know so far is the shooter was a female, 28 years old-ish, and possibly, I said, a former student. We'll keep you updated on that one. Another interesting story, you may recall, and Boomer, I didn't even talk about this, so Boomer and I both been out of town. We're catching up with each other right now, but we had the wife of Officer Ben Darby from Huntsville, Keelan Darby. She was on the show, a month ago?
About a month ago, I
believe. Thereabouts. Well, you know, the big thing was his conviction was on appeal, and the appellate court found in his favor. That is found out, I think, Friday afternoon, maybe. But I've already been in touch with her. She'll be coming back on the show here hopefully very soon. So Officer Ben Darby, you may recall, was responding to an active Well, the guy was basically, they were saying it might be suicide by cop, but he had a gun or a flare gun, I forget which, in his hand. And Officer Darby responded, and, you know, the city of Huntsville stood by him. He was a Huntsville PD guy. His wife, Keelan Darby, who's been advocating on his behalf just adamantly now for you know, the better part of a year and a half or more. She's also in law enforcement in Decatur, I believe. Anyway, she came on the show and talked about the fact that he responded in the way he was trained, and he was convicted of manslaughter. And anyway, the appellate court found – now, here's the thing, and what we're going to unpack for you more at another time is that apparently the appellate court did not come back and find per se in his favor. They didn't vacate the charges. They didn't vacate the case altogether. The charges were not dismissed. It was reversed and remanded, they call it. Reverse means there was an issue at trial that caused it to be sent back. Remanded means sent back with instructions to do it again, do it differently. So he was denied certain jury charges, which is when you tell the jury what they should consider while they're, you know, deliberating. Here's the law. You as a juror, you will consider this. If you heard the evidence that says so-and-so, you must consider that in light of the law, it says you would find this way. Well, there were certain charges that his team had requested that were denied by the judge. And among other things, I believe one of the main issues was the judge denied them a jury charge that required the jury to take into account his training and his response based upon protocols established in his training. Well, the appellate court found that it needs to come back. Unfortunately, he'll have to stand trial again, apparently, but stand trial under a different set of circumstances. And by the way, stand trial outside of all of the furor that was, you know, that was around the defund the police movement and all the civil unrest at the time. And, oh, by the way, also outside of the whole COVID stops you from being able to stand in front of the jury yourself because nobody can be around each other. It's too scary. Well, that's all going away. He's going to have a full trial, it appears, and the jury charges will be considered this time. And then the last one we got, on a much lighter note, is that my bracket got totally torn all to pieces. My bracket is in shreds.
I think most people, man, I can't even speak. I think most people's bracket is out.
Especially if you're from the SEC.
Right.
You just quit being a part of this bracket. Unless you're the lovely McQueen, who's now in fourth place with a chance to win the overall.
She's in third place.
Third place.
Yeah, and she has a chance to win because I did some digging, and I think she was the only one that chose Miami to move on from the Final Four. So if UConn versus Miami, if she gets that, she could win. But, she man, I will tell you thing. This. There's someone else. It was Michael, and there's a lot of numbers after it. Michael 661. I don't know, but he's down there and he chose UConn. So
and he's the only one that chose UConn.
Yeah, I think he's in 35th place right now. So he actually could win everything.
So he could be in 35th place right now and then come out number one.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
And we got new t-shirts.
We got new t-shirts.
So if you're watching the video stream, the Boomer is wearing the t-shirt. And it's we got these kind of like military style OD green what do you say, Right Side Ruffian t-shirts.
Yes.
Nice.
And they're comfy.
All right. Well, listen, more to come. It's going to be a full day. And we'll keep you updated on breaking news as it goes. And McQueen might win the bracket. How crazy. What's going on? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.